Good morning. Open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. We're going to be down in verse 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 11. We have been for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks now. I have been preaching to you a brief series, making ourselves ready for our Labor Renewal Weekend, which is coming up this coming weekend. If you haven't signed up, you need to. It's starting this coming Friday. And I've been talking to you about the basics, back to the basics of prayer, back to the basics of a devotional life, back to the basics of things that draw us close to God. I'm going to continue in that today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. This is Paul speaking of people's work for God. And he refers to it in terms of physical labor and of physical things, but obviously it's not. He says, For no man can lay a foundation other than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds upon that foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident for the day, that is when God judges all things that we do. For the day, he says, will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. Now that's bad news if you've invested in certain things in this list he gives here that are flammable. Because it is to be revealed with fire, the fire itself, it says, will test the quality of each man's work. And if any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. In other words, we can do a lot of things for God that aren't really godly, things that don't matter. Things that don't count. Just to do things for God is not what God intends. He intends you to do them in a certain way. And he sets two categories, I guess you could say, two divisions of with three headings underneath each of those divisions of the quality of a person's work. It could be gold, silver, or precious stones, or it could be wood, hay, straw. And obviously the difference between them, the most obvious difference, is that one group is flammable and one isn't. One can be burned up, or in other words, one is worthless and one isn't. One is valuable, one is not. There's another categorization we could say of this that a lot of people miss, but I think is very important. And it's explained this way. Where do we find wood, hay, and straw? Where do you go to find it? Anywhere. Right outside the door. There's dead grass laying out there right now. There's straw, there's sticks, there's anything you want. Where do you go to find gold, silver, precious stones? Not just anywhere. They're not easy to come by, are they? That's why they're valuable, you see. Wood, hay, and straw is not valuable because it's everywhere. Gold, silver, and precious stones are valuable, among other reasons, because it's hard to find. It requires work, requires labor, requires us paying attention, and it is labor-intensive. It requires those things of us. The things that matter require those things. So when was the last time you went to work? This morning, as I said, I want to speak to you about some things about our prayer life, in particular our devotional life. There was a little girl who went to visit her grandparents, and they were going to pick corn that weekend. They raised corn for food, and there was corn around the ranch house there where they lived, and so she went and spent the weekend with them. Come Saturday morning, about 6 o'clock, they rousted her out, and she was out in the fields picking ears of corn, and she'd never done that before, And initially, it was fun. Initially, it seemed like a novel thing. You know, wow, this is where corn comes from. You know, we actually pick it off a stalk, and she was having a good time. But around about noon, the luster kind of wore off the whole outing thing, and she was hot, and she was tired, and she was sweaty, and she didn't really see the point in it. And then so she expressed that point to one of her grandparents. She turned to one of them and said, you know, you can buy this stuff at the grocery store. It's interesting that in many cases is the attitude that we have with results with regards to good, honest work. The best things come as a result of honest work. And the same thing is true of our spiritual lives. They don't just happen. They're not just ready-made. You don't go down to the spiritual grocery store and buy them off the shelf and throw them in the microwave and whammo, you know, you get this great life. No, that's not the way it works. People who have strong spiritual lives have had to work for it. It requires work. It's labor-intensive. You want precious stuff, listen, you're going to have to dig. It's going to require labor. You're going to have to hunt for it and desire it, and that's the only way it's going to come into our lives. So what I want to speak to you about this morning is I want to speak to you a little bit about a little instruction on a biblical work ethic. You're there in 1 Corinthians. You can just stay there. I'm going to put some verses up on the screen for you. The first one is James 5:16. I find it interesting what James says here. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. You know, I put that up there because it's in juxtaposition in many ways to the way we think of prayer. We think of prayer as just purely devotional. We wouldn't say it, but the way we operate in it is we assume prayer is really not all that practical for everyday living. It doesn't really accomplish anything. The Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says that prayer isn't preparation for work, and it's not something that I do after the work to thank God that He's helped me. It is the work. It is. It is what accomplishes much. Not my knowledge, not my ability, not my experience, not my prowess, not my education, not even my spiritual gifts accomplish much. In fact, all these things are for naught unless there's prayer. Prayer is where the work is. It's not, again, it's not preparation for the work. It is the work. We're going to work and have a strong spiritual life. You're going to have to work. It requires work. You want a strong family, stable kids, healthy church? It requires work, guys. It doesn't happen any other way. It doesn't just fall out of the sky. Can't get it at the spiritual grocery store. It doesn't work that way. Prayer, according to the Scriptures, is the work. Prayer is the work. Notice what Jesus said with regards to the workers and the field. John 14, verses 12 through 13. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. The works, see, that God wants us to do. We immediately, you know, roll up our sleeves and put on our sweatbands and get ready to go. But then Jesus tells us how the work is accomplished. Notice. And he says, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The Christian work, you see, is what Christ does through us, not what we do for him. I mean, yeah, you're out there. Yeah, you're applying your skills and ability, but those aren't really the issues. It's Christ intervening on our behalf and on behalf of the world that he loves through us. That's the work. That's where the work is accomplished. The Bible always portrays prayer as work, not preparation for work, not something that we just do after the work, not something that we treat lackadaisically, or not something that we turn to as a last resort. It is actually the work. Prayer is the work. Prayer is the key that unlocks the secrets of a true spiritual life. You know, going to a good church is a good thing. Good preaching, good teaching, good Bible study material with the right people. All these things are significant. But listen, they're only pieces. They're only pieces to a puzzle. And that puzzle, listen, is locked behind a spiritual door. That door is unlocked, though, by prayer. It is only unlocked by prayer. Prayer is the key. Notice what Jesus says here in the book of Matthew. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Notice, how do you get the workers out there? How do you empower them? How do you teach them? How do you train them? How do they get the spiritual fortitude to do the things that God has called them to? Notice what he says here, the most significant part of this passage. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. That's where the work is. That's where the work is. It's not holding a rally. It's not sending out another letter or preaching another sermon. It's not what stirs people. What stirs people is God working as a result of our prayers. That's the work. That's where the real work is. Again, my question to us was, when was the last time we worked? When was the last time? When was the last time we gave our heart and soul to prayer? We gave all that we had saying, God, I believe that you work on our behalf. I believe that you want these good things more than I do. And we prayed the prayer of faith that asked God to do the things that we know he wants to do. We got on our knees and we paid the price. We did the work of what really gets things done. When was the last time? Prayer is the work. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the battle. We saw a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching to you from Ephesians chapter 6. We saw that all that spiritual armor there in chapter 6 of Ephesians is all with one purpose. You put on this spiritual armor so that we can stand, it says there, in prayer. Stand firm, having done everything to stand, put on the spiritual armor, and he names all these different things. And then he says, and pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. That's the whole purpose of the armor. I'm to be armed so that I can actually pray. Because listen, the prayer position is the position the devil's fighting for. He's not afraid of our intelligence, if you'll remember. He's not afraid of our education. He's not afraid of our money. He's not afraid of our influence. In fact, he wants us to think that those are where the work is accomplished. He's afraid of our prayer because prayer destroys his stuff. Tears down the strongholds. Not even until we pray is the door open for the sword of the Spirit. You see, I can preach for the sword of the Spirit straightforward, but until the heart has been tenderized by prayer, the Spirit doesn't work, you see. Prayer is where the major battle is. Prayer is the work. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the battle. Prayer is the advantage that we have over the enemy. There was a little boy who, coming home from school, he had underneath his arm this stuffed animal. And his mom said, of course, "Where'd you get it?" He said, "Oh," kind of nonchalantly, almost like he didn't care. "Oh, I won it at school." "You won it? Wow, that's great, sweetheart. What happened?" He said, "Well, I won it, but I cheated." "You did what?" "Yeah, I cheated." "What did you do?" He said, "Well, Mom, teacher was going around. We were to write our names on these little pieces of paper, and we were to fold them up, and when she was going around with a box, and we were dropping our names in this box, and then at the end of the school day, she was going to draw our names out." He said, "And what did you do? Put your name in there twice?" "No, I just put my name in there once." "Well, what'd you do?" He said, "When she put her hand in the box to draw out the names," he said, "I prayed. Therefore, I cheated." Kid had been taught well, hadn't he? That's not the way to operate in prayer, but that is a correct attitude about prayer. Prayer is powerful. It's not just stuff that we do. It's not just devotional. I mean, it is, but it's more than that. Prayer works. It is the work. It is the battle. It is the work of the battle. And so, again, the question is, when was the last time that you and I worked? When was the last time? Now, you want the same things I do. You want a strong spiritual life. You want a stable family. You want a healthy church. You want things to go right. You want people's lives to be changed. But all that want, guys, doesn't do a blessed thing. You got to work for it. It's labor intensive. Wood, hay, and straw, that stuff's everywhere. Everybody has the same wants. Listen, the gold and the silver and the precious stones come as a result of work. Prayer is the work. It is the key. It is the battle. Therefore, it shouldn't surprise us in particular how Jesus acted a couple of days before his crucifixion. Bible tells us that when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem for the final time, what we call the triumphal entry, that he immediately went into the temple. And there he found something that was very discouraging, disheartening to him. He found people changing money in the temple, place of worship. Changing money, selling animals, which, by the way, was not completely unspiritual. I mean, they had to change money. You couldn't just have money, people, a Jew coming in from Greece or from Turkey or wherever with a different type of money. They only accepted a certain type of coin there. And if he was going to make an offering in the offering plate there at the temple, he had to change his money. And he had to have animals for sacrifice. It wasn't like there was stuff in there that wasn't spiritual. It was just stuff in there that wasn't supposed to be there. He walks in there, he finds people changing money. He finds people buying and selling animals, and he literally throws a fit. The Bible says he took three cords and he bound them together and he drove every last one of those guys out of that place. All the while shouting, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." See what he found? He came in there and didn't find non-spiritual stuff happening. He just came in there and find the stuff that wasn't supposed to be there happening. The place of prayer, the place where God was to be worshipped, the place of work, if you will, was being prostituted for something that it was not created for purposes other than that it was intended. And he got ticked. He really did, and for a very good reason. Because the most important thing that was happening there was prayer. Yeah, people need animals. Yeah, they need to exchange money. But not near as important as the work of prayer. And he was right in what he did. But you know, ever since that time, the presence of God has not been in a building made of stone and of wood. In fact, it says in AD 70, they tore it down, and it's never been rebuilt. God has built for himself a house, a better house to live in. You know where that is? It's right here. It's in you and me. Every person who's trusted Christ as personal Savior, the Scripture says, Jesus says, I and the Father will come and make our home with them, and we shall ever be with them. We, as it says in another place in Scripture, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the place where God resides now. The question comes to me, and I'm putting it to you. If Jesus returned today to his temple, would he find it as he did in that day, prostituted? Maybe religious stuff going on. Maybe good things going on. But is the work, the real, what it was built for, what was it intended for, is that actually happening? Have we replaced these things, the most important thing, spending time with God and seeking his face and the power of prayer, have we replaced it with things, oh yeah, good things, but not the best things? Would he have to do the same thing as he did 2,000 years ago and drive those things out of his life, out of our lives? A house, he says, shall be called a house of prayer. If we want to be spiritually healthy, listen, we've got to work for it. We've got to work for it. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want you to ask yourself that question. When was the last time you spent yourself in the labor, in the work of prayer? I'm not asking you if you're a religious person. I'm not asking you. You're obviously in church, doing things that God wants you to do. There's nothing wrong with those things. But have you replaced the most important things with something less?